We thank you so much for the really the mighty time that we've already had. Lord, the precious people that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit already, Lord, that's wonderful. And Father, I sense such an atmosphere of faith and expectancy in our midst tonight. We ask that the Word would truly become alive and that miracles would occur. Miracles to meet the needs of people. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Take your Bible and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Now this is our fourth session together on the secret of desire. Everybody say that. The secret of desire. One more time. The secret of desire. Now we've covered a lot of material. Those of you that have just joined tonight, just hang in there. You're going to get blessed tonight. I just don't have the time to go back and review all that we've been. But we've been saying that desire is the control knob to everything in life. It says, whatsoever you desire when you pray. Huh? So before you even pray, you better have a desire. The desire determines really your faith level. If you don't have any desire, your faith won't rise up to reach anything. And then desire determines ministry potential. You know, I've wondered, well, why do some guys and gals just seem to take off, and others, you know, they just seem to get in a rut the rest of their life and just be satisfied? Well, desire is the thing. It says in 1 Timothy, it says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. So there's that desire factor. Now tonight, we want to get into how to turn your desires into realities. How to take a desire that you've cultivated. And remember that diagram last night. You begin to hold that image on the what level? What's the first level? Look in your notes. The first level is the what? The conscious level. Then it begins to root down into the subconscious and the spirit man. That's where the divine creativity, energy, ability, inspiration comes. And man, it's just like the nutrients in the soil. That desire begins to draw on the life of God in you. And then it says it's going to come right back around and produce. And that's what we want to home in on tonight. How to really cooperate and let that thing become a physical reality. And I think it's very comparable to childbirth. And a little over 10 months ago, we had Ryan. And it was a wonderful privilege to be right there in the delivery room. You know, and I forgot everything, but God got us through it, praise the Lord. But I can remember Martha, she had been pushing and pushing, and I mean, you know, we've been talking to Ryan for the whole 9 months. I mean, I believe their spirits pick it up. We'd been telling him his room was ready, what kind of wallpaper he had. I've been lay hands on her at night, you know, and speak to him. But then there's the time he's going to come forth. Hello? And that's where you got to learn how to cooperate. Well, finally, Martha, she had pushed and pushed. She said, I'm ready to have this baby. I mean, I'll never forget it. She was up on the delivery table, and she said, I'm ready to have this baby. And I was ready, too. I said, you know, oh, dear God, hallelujah. You know, what do? Massage your stomach, massage your feet. You know, I don't know. I forgot everything. But God, He came out. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. All right. Let's look in Proverbs 10, verse 24. Proverbs 10, verse 24 says, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the what?
Desire.
Everybody say desire.
Desire.
But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. So you see, God doesn't give you a desire just to frustrate you. God gives you a desire to birth it into reality. God gives you a desire for it to be granted and fulfilled. And really, there's a dual purpose in it. Number one, it's going to bless God's kingdom and it's going to bless you. And number two, that's what people see physically. When you have a desire and you birth it into reality and you give the glory to Jesus Christ, that's what people see. That's the physical sign and wonder that Jesus is indeed alive in this world. Now go with me to John 15. And then we're going to get into the very specific steps, very specific and practical handles. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 could very well be called the abiding chapter. But why are we supposed to be abiding in the vine? To do what? Bear fruit. Everybody say, I'm fruity.
I'm fruity.
Everybody say, I'm fruity for God.
I'm fruity.
Well, you know, the average church person, they have no idea what fruit is. You know, you see them, I mean, in Sunday school sometimes. Yeah, praise God, we're supposed to bear fruit. Hallelujah. Brother, what does fruit mean to you? Well, fruit is it's kind of like that commercial, fruit and fiber. I mean, I don't know what fruit is, you know, that he's talking about. You know what the fruit is? The fruit is a desire accomplished for the kingdom of God. That's exactly what Jesus is teaching here. He's not talking about soul winning in this chapter, though that's a fruit. He's not talking about the fruit of the Spirit. That's in Galatians. He's talking about getting a desire in prayer and birthing it into reality. All right, look at verse 5. John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth." Everybody say, "bringeth forth."
Bringeth forth.
In other words, there's a process of delivery. There's a process of bringing it forth. He brings forth much fruit. Not just a little bit, much. Now I'm going to reread this, and I want you to allow me, if you will, instead of the word fruit, I'm going to put the word in there, success. All right? "He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much success." Are you getting some new insight? "For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you," look at this, here's what he's talking about, "you shall ask what you will." Let's say that. "You shall ask what you will." What who wills?
You.
What who wills?
You.
Somebody says, "Well, brother, you know, my will may not be God's will." Read it again. "If you abide in me," this is about the most complete, balanced verse, I think, in the Bible. "If you abide in me," so there's number one, you got to do that, "and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Herein, look at that. "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much success. So shall you be my disciples." What gives God glory and honor and just gets His turn on button turned on is when He looks down there and sees His children running around producing fruit, having prayers answered, having a desire granted, seeing things done for the kingdom of God. That's what gives God, that gets Him excited. But then, you know, you run into some people, they think, you know, the spiritual thing to do is just, I don't know, sit somewhere like a bump on a log and not do anything. Jesus says, go bear fruit, praise the Lord. Now, what kind of fruit is He talking about? He says, you're going to ask what you will. You're going to have a desire. That desire is going to have been developed, cultivated, and formed in the abiding walk and the prayer life. It's going to be perfectly lined up with me, and you are going to bring forth and birth into reality exploits for the kingdom of God. That's exactly what he's talking about. Bearing fruit, bearing what Joshua 1:8 calls good success. Good success. Now, we want to look at a number of steps that will help you in this bringing forth process. How to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. How to turn a desire into a physical reality out there. Now, if you'll use these steps, they'll work for you in business. They'll work for your personal life. You'll be able to bear a house, praise God. Talk about a delivery now, man. Bearing a whole 3,500 square foot house. Have to push hard on that one. You're going to be able to bear fruit in the ministry if you'll use these steps. Now, you write these down. I'll give them to you, and I may have to repeat them because a couple of sentences in length. But you write these in your notebook. Number one, the first step for turning a desire into reality. Number one, you must fix in your mind. Number one, you must fix in your mind the specific thing that you desire. Before you can get anywhere, you're going to have to fix in your mind the specific thing that you desire. You're going to have to be as specific as possible. Fix in your mind the specific thing that you desire and be as specific as possible. I mean, go Hollywood with it. Get the color on it. Get the size of it. Is it two-door or four-door? Come on now. You got to get specific. Somebody says, don't you think that God, I mean, after all, He knows what we need. We don't even need to pray. He knows what we need. Listen, God knows what you need, but He has given you the authority. And actually, if you want to know the truth, He can't do anything until you broadcast it forth. Everybody say, I'm a broadcaster.
I'm a broadcaster.
I'm a radio station.
Transmitting the signals of God.
So God can ride in on the signals. And accomplish what I desire. So you're going to have to fix it in your mind. Look in John 16. Just hang it right there. You're close. John 16. John chapter 16. And let's look at verse 23 and 24. Jesus says, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing." Chapter 16, verse 23. "In that day you shall ask me nothing." How pitiful. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you." Boy, isn't that good? He will. Everybody say, He will.
He will.
Everybody say, He will.
He will.
But He won't until you ask.
Amen.
Did you just get that?
Yeah.
He won't until you ask. I mean, you know, some of you parents that have children, what would you do if your little boy or little girl walked into the kitchen and just went, "Oh, hallelujah, Mommy. Hallelujah, Mommy. Darling, what do you want?" "Oh, if it be thy will. Hallelujah, Mommy. Hallelujah." Say, "Honey, are you hungry?" "Oh, hallelujah. Whatever be thy will." Oh, let's do it like some people. "Thou knowest my need. Oh, great Mama in heaven, thou knowest my need." I'd say, "Now, honey, straighten up and tell me what you want. You want a peanut butter sandwich? You don't want a ham sandwich? Oh, whatsoever be thy will. Go to your room until you're going to start talking." Now, that's exactly, I think, how foolish it is in prayer sometimes. And we've all been that way. You know we have. We'll read on. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." I'll tell you, one reason God wants to answer prayers is just to get you excited. It doesn't have to be some big old project, you know, that's going to change what He just wants to give you a little joy, praise God. I find people that aren't praying specifically, they're some of the most sourpusses in the kingdom of God. They stand up, "You're not going to win anybody like this." "I'm so excited tonight. I just feel the joy of the Lord all over me. Y'all come forward and be like I am." That's kind of the image sometimes we've given people. But you know, you find somebody that's been asking and receiving. They're the kind of people, they're kind of like a Cheryl, you know, just bubbling, kicking around all the time, just excited about the Lord. Amen. Amen. Gets me excited to be around people like that. Just like somebody coming up with living water just coming out of them onto you. They're excited because they know God's alive and God answers prayer. Well, you say, how can I establish God's will in prayer so that I know I'm asking accordingly? Go with me to 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. You see, this is what hangs a lot of people up. They say, "Well, brother, I've got a lot of desires, but I'm afraid to ask them. I'm afraid to really put words and prayers to them because I'm not quite sure that that would, you know, be pleasing unto God." Well, I'm about to clear that up right here so that you're not going to have any ball and chain around your leg holding you back. You're just going to be able to, boom, run on into the Holy of Holies like Pastor Bill was talking about and get it done.
Amen.
All right, 1 John chapter 5, and let's look at verse 14. It says, "And this is the confidence..." Everybody say confidence.
Confidence.
Now that's the thing that is lacking in most people's prayer life. But if you can ever get over that little hurdle where you stand there in confidence, knowing that you are on solid ground asking perfectly according to His will, man, everything's possible. But if you're up there and you're praying kind of, and you're trying to, in the middle of your prayer, work your way through and wonder out if this is God's will, you see you're not going to get anywhere. He says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything..." Everybody say anything.
Anything.
That means anything. "If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Somebody says, "Well, I don't know if I'm asking according to His will." Now just keep your finger right there. Keep your finger right there and go back to chapter 3, 1 John 3. I'm going to show you how to know what His will is. 1 John 3, and let's begin with verse 19. "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." Here's how you're going to do it now. "If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. But, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we what?
Nothing.
All right, now hold your finger there. Go back to what we just read over in chapter 5 and look at verse 14. And this is the what?
Nothing.
Now go back to chapter 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we what?
Nothing.
Confidence toward God. All right? So in other words, you need to get to a place of where you're in total confidence. How do you do that? If your heart is not condemning you, go ahead. Very simple. If your heart is not condemning you, go ahead. I've seen people labor, you know, day and night for 2 weeks, you know, wondering if God wants them to have a two-door or a four-door. What do you want? I'd rather have a four-door. That's what I want, but I'm afraid God might want me to have a two-door. If you want a four-door and your heart doesn't condemn you on it, go ahead with it. I tell you, the Lord just did a miracle in our life in this office situation. And I was in prayer about it, and I was just like I'm talking about. Well, God, this, well, God, that. And I was going back and forth. I mean, you know, sometimes you'll slip into that. Don't look at me like that. I know how y'all do sometimes. I'm not the only flesh and blood walking around here. And so, finally, the voice of God came to me through a tongue and an interpretation out of my own mouth. And He said, Son, go ahead and decide on what you feel you need, and I'll back you. That's how simple it was. He said, just decide what you want and what you need, and I'll back you on it. And I went ahead with that today. I signed the papers, praise God. And I got the backing of God on it. I'm confident in that. No wavering whatsoever. All right, now go to chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask. Everybody say, I ask.
I ask.
Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. So in other words, just get to the point in prayer where your heart is not condemning you and you're in that realm of confidence. Don't get hung up in so many details. I thank God He could care less if you have a four-door or two-door. He could care less if it's purple or pink, you see. He just wants you to establish it specifically, get that confidence on it, go after it, and birth it into the kingdom. Now go back to chapter 5, 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we what? There it is, folks. Desired of Him. What do you desire? Just go after it. Establish it in prayer in the realm of confidence, and it shall come unto you. That's how simple it is. Now, one of the keys to this is focusing your faith. Put that in your notes. You must focus your faith. I had a young fellow come up to me after one seminar, and he was so excited. Boy, you know, you can't help but be excited about somebody's zeal, but he came up like this. He says, Jason, he says, I know what God's called me to be in life. I said, what's God called you to be? He said, God's called me to be a professional athlete. He was playing football and he was very muscular. I said, praise God. I said, man, we need some Christian athletes. I said, you will win a lot of people to the Lord with that kind of testimony. He said, and? I said, oh, there's more. He said, I'm going to be a professional athlete. And he said, I'm going to be a businessman that makes millions for God. I said, well, that's pretty common. You know, athletes, they go into business and kind of branch out. And I said, man, that's great. A professional athlete and a businessman making millions. Then he says, and? I said, oh, there's more. He says, yes. He said, I'm going to be a worldwide international evangelist. I said, okay, I've got a professional athlete and a businessman, worldwide international evangelist. And he says, and? I said, oh, there's more. He says, yes, I'm going to medical school. I'm going to incorporate that in the whole ball of wax. I said, praise God, man, we got a professional athlete, a businessman, a worldwide international evangelist, a medical doctor. And he had a couple other things. But I said, whoa. I said, you're not going to be good at anything. His little countenance went, bee. I said, you're not going to be good at anything until you focus in on one thing. Put this here in a note. Successful people focus in on one main thing. Are you called to be a doctor? Be the best there is. Don't give up until you are. If you're called to be a worldwide evangelist like I am, be the best there is and don't give up until you are. Focus in. Remember the little magnifying glass? The sun's rays are out there. It's not until you capture those rays and focus them to a concentrated point that power exists. How many of you ever played with a little magnifying glass? I know what y'all did before you were born into the kingdom. You went out burning ants on the hillside, didn't you? Some of you, yeah. Snuck up behind your sister and got her hot on the neck. Don't write that down.
But in much the same way, the power of God is in you as a believer. It's there, but it's not going to do you any good until you take that and focus it to a concentrated point and go after something. The Apostle Paul said, "This one thing I do, I forget the things that are behind me, and I'm pressing toward my high call." He had identified it, he was specific, and he went after it, and he achieved it. Now, it'll work for anything. If you're believing God for a house, get specific, focus in on it, and stay with it. It'll work for reaching the masses. Man, I tell you, I lay in bed at night and I just focus my faith. I focus my mind. I focus my faith imagery and I just see it. I see it right there. And it's come to pass. I'm birthing the thing into reality. Amen? Amen? So, the first thing to turn a desire into reality, you must fix in your mind the specific thing that you desire. Be as specific as possible about it. Now again, write this down. I suggest you use photographs, and it doesn't cost any money to do some research. It doesn't cost you any money to go down to the car place and ask for a brochure. They'll give you one. They'll be glad to give you two or three, usually. Get one and go home, and that'll help you see, fix that thing in your mind. All right, number two. The second step for turning a desire into reality. Number two, you must determine exactly what you intend to give. Number two, you must determine exactly what you intend to give. Determine exactly what you intend to give in return for the thing you desire. Number two, you must determine exactly what you intend to give in return for the thing you desire. You see, there's no such thing as getting something for nothing. Did you get that? A guy says, "Boy, I want to be a businessman. I want to be a salesman, and I want to make a lot of money." "Well, what are you going to sell?" "Well, I just want to make a lot of money." You see, you're going to have to get your priorities right. You're going to have to offer a good service. You're going to have to give something in order to receive something. Do you see that? The difference between a professional salesman and a quack or a charlatan is a professional salesman is offering a legitimate service to bless people in that realm of his service. But somebody who's a charlatan tries to get something for nothing. And you know, that won't work in the natural world, and it won't work in the kingdom of God. This is the whole issue of planting your seed. You're going to have to plant a seed for your desire. Now, I suggest that you write this down. Try, if at all possible, to plant a seed of like kind. Plant a seed of like kind. Go with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. Now, you know, most of the seeding that we hear taught on concerns money. I'm for that, because money represents your hard work. I mean, you know, when you let go of that money that you've worked hard for in whatever capacity you've earned it in, that's a part of you going out. So we need to plant that. But there's other types of seed that we can plant. You know, I'm believing God for an airplane right now. I mean, that's what I'm believing for. I'm believing God for an airplane in my ministry. I'm a pilot without wings. I'm grounded. And I'm getting to the point where, it just gets on me sitting behind my van for 8 hours going somewhere, you know. I want to just get there. And so I remember I got a letter in the mail from Jerry Savelle Ministries a couple of years ago. That's how long I've been planting seed. And I said, you know, he had this thing where he was going to raise money for an airplane. Well, you know, I saw that, and you can't give to everybody, but I'll make a habit of laying my hands on letters that I can't give to and blessing them. I can at least give that, amen. And but then the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Man, you're believing for an airplane. Why don't you sow some seed into that project? Because that is a seed of like kind." Does that make sense to you? All right, look in this verse in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. He says, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground." That's powerful. The entire kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. You say, "Man, nobody came up and shook my hands during the time when you said go around and shake four people's hands. Nobody came up and shook my hand and said that thing about birth and desires. I feel rejected." How many hands did you shake? "Well, I didn't shake any." Go plant a seed of like kind. If you need some love, go plant some love. You see how that works? What are you going to get back? You plant corn, you're going to get what? And so when you have this desire, let's say you're believing God for a home. All right, you're believing God for a home.
What kind of a seed of like kind could you plant? The Bible says, be hospitable one to another. Invite somebody over and give them a blessed day. Cook them a beautiful meal. Let them sit down and watch, you know, a show or something on TV. And just let them be in an environment of just relaxation. If that's in your apartment, do it in your apartment. If it's in your trailer, do it in your trailer. Sow a seed of like kind. Are you following this? There's a lot of people that are sowing seed, but they don't sow seed of like kind. It says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, here you have a desire. So you put your seed out there, whether it's being hospitable, whether it's money into an airplane project, or whatever it may be, you put it out there. Now, here's what's going to happen. Verse 27. Should sleep and rise night and day. It's going to take some time. Don't expect it to hit you, you know, right between now and tomorrow. And the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. It's a mystery, but it works. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the what? Now you're going to have to learn how to receive your miracle. Everybody say, I must receive.
I must receive.
My miracle.
My miracle.
You see it every football season. How many of you like football? Can I see your hand? How many of you could care less about football? Can I see your hand? 50-50. All right, we got everybody involved here on this thing. But you'll see it. You know, the guy will go, 10, 24, hoo! And he gets the ball and he fades back and his receiver's running downfield and he throws the ball and the guy's running down there and it's right in his hands and he drops it. Or he runs out and he runs a hook pattern and he turns around and the ball's already on the way and it hits him right in the numbers, right in the jersey. Boom, right there it goes. That's the way a lot of believers are. They planted their seed, and God's throwing them the miracle, and they're over there going like this, oh God, please give me the miracle, boom, 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 oh God, please give me the miracle, boom, boom. God said, come on, boy, put your hands out, catch it. You got to get your sickle in. Everybody say, I must put my sickle in. You see, I get on my tiptoes in the Spirit, praise the Lord, be looking for your answer on the way. Plant that seed of like kind, and then expect it to come. And when it comes, reach out and do it. You may have to fill out forms, fill them out. You may have to go across town and see so-and-so. Go across town and see so-and-so. Do what you have to do to put the sickle in. Go with me to Galatians. Galatians 6. A very popular passage on what we're talking about. But Oral Roberts brought something out one time in a seminar that, you know, I just hadn't seen it. Galatians 6. And let's look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that. Everybody say that.
Amen.
Now, if you mark in your Bible, underline the word that. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, you're going to reap the same kind of seed that you sow. That's what it's saying. So, whatever your desire is, try to be creative. Think in your mind. How could I sow a seed of like kind to my desire? Because this verse says, whatsoever man soweth, what?
Amen.
Say it.
Amen.
That shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary. Man, I've been believing God for an airplane for years. And I'm just not going to get weary about it. I'm just not going to give up, praise God. You say, well, wind it on the way. Don't ask me questions like that. I don't ask God questions like that. It's just on the way. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. I want to tell you, God's got a due season for your miracle. God's got a due season for that desire and project. And if you'll just not give up, just don't quit. I just don't quit. Go ahead and sit down, but don't quit. I've done that sometimes. Go ahead and sit down and take a little breather, but don't quit. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So number one, you got to fix in your mind the specific thing. Then number two, you have to determine exactly what you intend to give in return for the thing you desire. If at all possible, be creative. Plant a seed of like kind for your desire. Number three, the third step for turning your desire into reality. Establish a target date. Establish a target date. When you intend to possess the thing you desire. Establish a target date of when you intend to possess the thing that you desire. Now, a target date will do a number of things for you. A target date is a motivator. How many of you have ever stayed up late at night, back in your school days, getting that paper ready that you should have started on a week ago? It motivated you, didn't you? When that lady stood up, you know, the day before it was due, and she said, "Don't forget your little paper is due tomorrow," and your heart went boom, boom, boom. You were motivated that night to do something. At least I hope you were. That's what a target date will do. A target date will be out there, and a target date will draw you to it. I've got a 5-year projection on my ministry that is really nothing but target dates. You say, "Well, what if you get there and it doesn't work out?" Then just readjust your target date. Don't get down about it. But just readjust. It may come earlier. I've had those happen. I love those, don't you?
Amen.
Where I set my target date 6 months and it hit me in a month. I like those. Special delivery, express mail, overnight delivery. I like that. Angels working overtime. But establishing a target date will serve to motivate you. Go with me to the book of Nehemiah. We're going to look at something that is so exciting on this idea of a target date. Somebody said, "Well, brother, I believe you're putting God in a box." Well, listen, you can't put God in a box. You can try all you want. You're not going to put God in a box. Setting a target date is really corollary with hope. That's what hope is. That's your hope. I hope to have it right then. That's my target date. All right, Nehemiah chapter 2. And I tell you, this is such a powerful book on goal setting. I have an entire seminar entitled Supernatural Goal Setting, where I basically come right out of Nehemiah with it. But Nehemiah is a perfect example. He had a desire form within him to go back and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Do you remember that? And this guy was a slave in the land of Persia. Now, that would have been a big exploit for anybody, much less a slave. I mean, it's enough to believe God for money as a free person, much less a slave. Got to get free, then believe God for the money, then get there. Well, he does it. And he didn't beat around the bush when the opportunity came. Look in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Finally, the king Artaxerxes, one day said, "Hey, Nehemiah, what do you look so sad for? What's on your mind?" And Nehemiah said, "I'm glad you asked." Chapter 2, verse 4. "Then the king said unto me, 'For what dost thou make request?' So I prayed to the God of heaven." One of those quickie prayers. Just shot it up in a moment of time. Verse 5. "And I said unto the king, 'If it please the king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may what?'" Now that's his desire, folks. Mark it. That's the desire of Nehemiah that's burning within his heart. He verbalizes his desire to the man. We'll read on, verse 6. "And the king said unto me," the queen also sitting by him, "For how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a what?" There it is in black and white. A target date was set by Nehemiah. It didn't put God in the box. In fact, it helped Nehemiah fulfill that very desire that he had. And you talking about being specific, one of our points there, read on. "Moreover, I said unto the king, 'If it please the king, let letters be given to the governors beyond the river.'" In other words, give me some letters of recommendation with your signature, your John Henry on them. So if they try to give me some flack, I just pull out your letter and wave it at them. And they say, "Oh, King Artaxerxes," read on. "Let letters be given to the governors beyond the river that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. And I would like a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber." I need some timber too to make the beams for the gates of the palace which appertaineth to the house, and for the wall of the city, for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me," look at this, "the king granted me according to the good hand of my God which was upon me." Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I mean, the king said, "What would you like?" He said, "Well, I just happen to have a computer printout right here." He says, "Well, let's see, I need a letter to the keeper of the forest, Asaph. I need some letters to the governors over around there." And in fact, you read on there, he says, "I'd like an army. Could you spare a little army to send with me?" He had an entire army go with him. And he set him a target date. Now, we've got to be specific like that in our desires. Amen? So when God moves upon somebody, and he uses people, don't you know that? And somebody comes up to you and says, "You know, we've got a job opening for a civil engineer, and that's what I heard that you're looking for. What is your background in that? I think we might be able to use you." If you haven't been specific up until that point to cultivate that desire, and you hem-haw around and go, well, you know, I hadn't really thought about that. Could you give me about a month to think about it? You've just blown the opportunity. But if you've cultivated in prayer and you say, hey, look, my background is this and this and this, and I really believe this could be the door that I need to have for my civil engineering job, you just step right through it like Nehemiah did. Do you see that? That's how easy a miracle happens. Miracles don't always occur with sparklers and fireworks. Hello? Everybody say this. God is supernaturally natural. That's true. God is supernaturally natural. That's just the way He is. You know, in Bible school, people say, well, it could have been a very strong wind that parted the Red Sea. So what? That was a miracle to occur at that right time. God may have done it that way. You know, He may have run a mouse through there real fast, and I mean just the wind behind the mouse could have split the water. I don't care how He did it. Hello?
Amen.
Quit trying to limit God on how He's going to do it for you. Just get specific, cultivated in prayer, plant your seed, and establish a target date for it. So He says here, mark this if you didn't do it in verse 6 at the end, so I set Him a time. When you have a desire, let's say for a home, when do you want your home? Oh, I'll take it any time. No, when do you want your home?
Amen.
Now, don't be ridiculous. I want it tomorrow. That's not in your proportion of faith. That's not in your realm of faith. Is your realm of faith 6 months? Yeah, that's getting close. 8 months. Yeah, I feel comfortable with that. Set a target date for 8 months. Get your wife in the car and go out and start looking at some homes and walking through. Well, I don't have any money. It doesn't cost money to walk. Put your hand on the fireplace and on the wood and say, boy, this looks good. And then when the salesperson gets right around and they say something like this, well, when did you have it in mind? Just say, oh, we're open at any time. Doesn't hurt to do that. Get out and look. Set a target date and go after it. If you don't get there at that time, readjust it. If you get there ahead of time, praise God ahead of time. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, number four. The fourth step for turning a desire into a reality, create a definite plan. Create a definite plan for carrying out your desire. Create a definite plan for carrying out your desire. And begin now. And put a big underline under that. Create a definite plan for carrying out your desire and begin now, whether you are ready or not, to put this plan into action. Create a definite plan for carrying out your desire and begin. The emphasis is on what?
Now.
Everybody say it.
Now.
Whether you are ready or not to put this plan into action. This is nothing more than putting action and works to your faith. I tell you, Oral Roberts, he is the master of this. I attended Oral Roberts University and, you know, buildings would just, like, they'd pop out of the ground. You know, there's another one. 60 stories, another one, you know. You better watch yourself walking across the campus of Oral Roberts University early one morning. You know, there you are walking across there and you walk that way to class every day and, you've just fallen in a hole that he dug somewhere. He don't have the money to build it, but he'll dig a hole. I mean, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night at Oral Roberts University and say, what's that rumbling? Look out your window, there's a big bulldozer moving dirt. He didn't have the money to build it, but he digs a hole. You see what I'm talking about? So begin now, whether you are ready or not. When I was taking my flight, preparing to take my flight training, I didn't have the money to do it, but I did some research. It doesn't cost you money to do research. I said, okay, I need about $3,500 to go to the school and take it. So I'd go out to the International Airport of Vidalia, Georgia. Or you just hope a plane comes by. And I'd sit in my van with air conditioner running. And I'd just sit there percolating. Baka, songe, tete, bata. Here comes an airplane. And boy, an airplane's coming in. I didn't see that guy in the airplane. Guess who was in the airplane? I was in the airplane. I saw myself flying. I saw myself land. The guy would pull over to the fence. I'd jump out. I know I bugged a lot of pilots. I'd jump out and say, oh, that's a pretty plane that you've got. Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty nice plane. You mind if I get in it? You want to get in my airplane? I get in it.
you know, take the little yoke, you know, and just turn it like that and do it like that and say, yeah.
Got in a lot of airplanes that way. Why? I was beginning now. I was doing something. I was doing something. I mean, I went out there many, many days before I ever took the training, before I ever had a dive. I mean, I know the owner of that place, you know, the guy that was operating the airport, he used to look at me. He told me this afterwards. He said he used to look at me driving my van. You know, he'd see me in there. He thought I had a bad dose of ticks or something, you know. He told me this. He said, I just knew you were out there for a dope drop. He said, it really confused me when you pulled off on the back of your van and it says, Jesus is Lord. It's one of them religious guys that smokes dope, you know. It's part of his religion. But I'd just sit out there, you know, and I'd worship God, and here'd come an airplane. I'd see myself in the airplane. I was doing something. Well, the day came. I took my lessons, paid for cash. That was it.
Hallelujah.
I was just doing something. That's how simple it is. Begin, whether you're ready or not, now. Start now. You're believing God for a new home? Cut you out a beautiful picture of that home that you desire. Brother, I don't take magazines. Well, then make an appointment at the dentist. They got magazines, you know, around there? Go in there like this and say, well, it hurts bad. And then flip through one of those magazines, and when you find the one you want, tear it out, put it in your pocket, say, you know, that thing's feeling better after all. Walk on out. Won't pay it, cost you a dime. Do something. Begin now. Begin now. Be creative. Everybody say with me, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Take money.
Take money.
To begin.
To begin.
That's the truth. It doesn't take a dime to begin. You can do something. You can dig a hole. You can cut a picture out. You can go to the library. Well, it costs money to check a book out. We'll read it there. You know, more people wait until they get money to do anything, and they never get the money. I tell you, I've run into more people in the past year that they're waiting on their boat to come in before they go to the nations. You're never going to go. Somebody says, well, you know, I'll help that ministry when I could send, if I could send $50 a month, I'd help that ministry. I'd rather have your $5 a month.
That's right.
Than what you've been given. Do you see that? Somebody says, well, I can't tithe now. You know, I better not ought to write any check to my church because they teach on tithing. Well, the pastor would much rather you send $50 a week or $50 a month or $5 a month than to not do anything.
That's right.
Then the church can go forward and accomplish what God wants it to do. Do you see what I'm talking about? Begin now, whether you're ready or not. Now, a passage that you might want to put down, the same one we looked at, Nehemiah 2, verses 6 through 8. Man, this guy had a plan. Before he ever had permission, before he ever had any money, he already had a specific list in mind that he just unloaded on that guy at the right time. That tells me he was beginning ahead of time. Does that make sense to you? Somebody says, well, I might get ahead of God. So what? Why does that cause you to fear so much? If you get ahead of God, believe me, you'll get slowed down. I've done that many times. But I'd rather get out there and walk a little bit and go under a couple times and come up for air than not do anything. So I might get ahead of God. So what? Go with me to James 2. James 2. You know, somebody says, I'll tell you, it's so hard to have faith in God. It's just very difficult to have faith in God. Have you ever thought of this? It's hard for God to have faith in you. Somebody says, well, I might get ahead of God. So what? Why does that cause you to fear so much? If you get ahead of God, believe me, you'll get slowed down. I've done that many times. But I'd rather get out there and walk a little bit and go under a couple times and come up for air than not do anything. So I might get ahead of God. So what? Go with me to James 2. James 2. You know, somebody says, I'll tell you, it's so hard to have faith in God. It's just very difficult to have faith in God. Have you ever thought of this? It's hard for God to have faith in you. Somebody says, man, it's just hard for me to have faith in the Lord. Because I don't know if I'm in his time. I might get ahead of his time. You know, I don't want to be a bad testimony, and I don't know how to pray. I mean, I'm not sure if that's my desire. God, just do something. Get out there and do something. God can't use you until you're doing something. All right, James 2, verse 17 and 18. Even so, faith, if it hath not works. Let me give you the Peebles paraphrase. Even so, faith, if it hath not doing something. Amen. If it hath not beginning now, whether you're ready or not. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yes, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. That's impossible. And I will show thee my faith by my works. By my doing something. By my doing something, whether I'm ready or not. I tell you, every miracle begins with somebody starting. Amen. That little old lady, she had to begin somewhere, pressing through the crowd before she ever got to Jesus. You say, well, the miracle took place when she touched Jesus. The miracle took place when she was at home and began to say, I'm going to go touch Jesus. She began. She didn't know she could get to Him. Or the blind man on the side of the road, Jesus! 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 Oh, shut up. Shut up, blind man. Jesus! 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 Come back! Come back! He was doing something, amen? And a miracle occurred. I tell you, a miracle is a cooperation between God and man. Put this in your notes. Supernatural equals, just like a formula. Supernatural equals God super plus your natural. That's my definition for supernatural. Supernatural is God super plus your natural. It's not all God, and it's not all you. You know, you run into both sides, types of Christians. Somebody says, oh, we're just waiting on the Lord. We're just waiting on God. Waiting on a lightning bolt. Waiting on a dream. I haven't had any dreams yet. I'm eating as much pizza as I can so I can conjure up a pepperoni dream. I call those people goofy. You know, there's a lot of Christians, they got the look of spiritual, but they're just nothing but pseudo-spiritual. Yeah. Goofy. Hello. Well, then you've got the other people. Everything's going to be decided in the... Put on all the eyes have it. Nothing wrong with a board meeting. Somewhere there's the supernatural. Do you see what I'm talking about? God's super and your natural. Create a definite plan for carrying out your desire and begin now, whether you're ready or not, to put this plan into action. Let me give you an example. Let's say your desire is, I want to be stronger in the Word. I run into people like that. They say, I want to be stronger in the Word. I say, praise God. What are you going to do about it? I just want to be strong in the Word. I say, what is your plan of action? And I begin to walk them through it. I say, okay, here's your plan of action. I said, number one, if you're going to be strong in the Word, you're going to have to read it. Does that make sense to you? They say, oh yeah, that makes sense to me. I said, okay, set a time when you're going to get up or you're going to stay up and read the Word. Number two, how many cassette tapes are you going to listen to a month? Well, brother, I feel that's bondage. That's discipline. That's discipline. I'm going to read the Word for 20 minutes a day or 15 or 10 or start out somewhere. Get a definite plan of action and begin now. When I tried it the third day, I slept through my alarm. Get up the next day. Quit looking at what you didn't do. You got up for 2 days. You slept through 1 day. Praise God, you're further down the road than you were. Does that make sense to you? Now put this in your notes. Under this point, your steps must be measurable. In your plan of action, you're going to have some steps. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to listen to one cassette tape. It must be measurable. I'm going to explain that. In other words, don't just say, I'm going to get up and read the Bible. Say, I'm going to get up and read the Bible for at least 15 minutes. Now, that's measurable. Either you'll do it or you don't. Do you see this? You're taking this abstract desire that's in here and you're creating a definite, measurable plan of action so that you can judge your progress or your lack of it. And that will help you get down the road. So, number four, create a definite plan of action for carrying out your desire. Begin now, whether you're ready or not, to put this plan into action. Number five, the fifth step for turning your desire into reality, write out a clear, concise statement. We're talking about handwriting now, not typing. Write out a clear, concise statement of your desire. Write out a clear, concise statement of your desire, including the target date. Put that, when you write it, include that. Including the target date, what you intend to give, and your plan of action. Write out a clear, concise statement of your desire, including the target date, what you intend to give, and your plan of action. Why is this so important? I tell you why this is so important. Because when you do that, listen, this is the first step to the physical manifestation. Up until then, it's just been an image, an idea rolling around on the inside of you. But when your hand takes a pen or a pencil and puts it on a piece of paper, boom, all of a sudden it's in the real world. It's there in black and white. It's the first step to the physical manifestation. You got to write it out. Write it out. Write it out. Write it out. I had one brother come to me and said, Brother, I've got to see that in the Word, writing it out. I mean, that just doesn't sound right to me. I said, you're looking at it.
Amen.
He said, what are you talking about? I said, aren't you glad they wrote it down? I said, because it was written down, we have it. Turn with me to the book Habakkuk.
Yes. Yeah.
The book Habakkuk. Let me help you out. That's right next door to Nahum. Just find Nahum and you've got it. Don't be afraid to use your table of contents. That's why it's in there. I'm serious. You know, I get tickled sometimes in a seminar. You can see everything when you're standing where I am. And I see these guys sitting with their wives sometimes. I say, turn to Habakkuk. And the guy goes, Habakkuk, Habukuki, Habakkuk. And all of a sudden, you know, he says, honey, find it for me. Just use your table of contents until you learn your way around. That's why it's there. All right, Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, you have to understand, the prophet Habakkuk was living in a time of apostasy. Israel was backslid in a bad situation. And Habakkuk said, you know, well, how am I going to conduct myself in this time? There's no revival taking place. What am I going to do? Well, he did what we all need to do, and that's get on your watch. Go seek God. Look at verse 1. Habakkuk 2, verse 1. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. I don't know why we all think like that. We always think when God shows up, he's going to reprove us. Verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Everybody say it. Write the vision. One more time. Write the vision. Now that's God's instruction. Plain and simple. Take your desire, take your vision, take your goal and write it down. You go into the office of successful businessmen, successful pastors. In fact, I'm thinking of one right now in Hardeeville, South Carolina, Pastor Charles Bowman, that I've worked with a couple of times. Wonderful man. You go into his office and he has a big blueprint of the new sanctuary that they're wanting to get into. I mean, it's an architectural drawing. It's got over here a picture of what the thing may look like. He even went so far as to have a scale model built. I'm not talking about a child's type thing. I'm talking about a beautiful scale model of the sanctuary where it's going to sit on his property. In other words, he wrote the vision and made it plain. And that little scale model every Sunday is brought out and put in front of the congregation so that everybody sees it. They see it. They see the vision. It's written not only on a piece of paper, it gets written into their hearts, you see. And it's going to come to pass. You go into a successful businessman's office and he surrounds himself with this type of thing. You don't see pictures on the wall of the first month he couldn't meet payroll and his head's on the table going, he doesn't have pictures like that hanging up on his wall. He's got pictures of his first check. He's got pictures of himself standing there with a shovel, breaking ground. You know, he's got pictures of these things, right? Enforcing, writing the vision, making it plain. Look what he says here. He says, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. We would say upon notebook paper. That he may run that readeth it. Now you could translate that a number of ways. One, you could translate it this way. Make it so plain. Write your desire so clear, so crystal clear, that a runner that's running by it, he could just glance over it and see exactly what you're talking about. That's how simple it is. Or another translation puts it this way. Put it so simple, write it so plain, that a person who's reading through what you just wrote could just run right through it, just read right through it very fast, say, yeah, I see it. I see exactly what you're believing for. You've made it so plain and so simple. Does this make sense to y'all?
Amen.
Now I tell you, your desire will never become a reality until you do this. You got to write the vision and make it plain. He goes on to say, verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Glory to God. It's coming. Everybody say it's coming.
It's coming.
My desire,
is coming.
All the way.
All the way.
I've made it plain.
It's got to come.
God's telling me right now, y'all's desire for your church and your property, it's on the way. 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 I mean, things are already in motion. I just saw in my mind a UPS truck. And I saw big angels in there carrying your packages around. It's on the way. It's on the way. The Lord's telling me y'all got some desires for y'all's ministry. The Lord's saying those desires that y'all have talked about between each other, it's on the way. It's closer than you realize. You've been a little bit discouraged at times, thinking, well, you know, it seems like we're not getting close. It's getting closer. It's like you about opened the door and he's going to be standing there. Here it is.
Hallelujah.
Just hang on. It's on the way. Well, give the Lord a hand for that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And there's a project that you've been contemplating that's going to require an enormous amount of money, and that money is coming. That money is coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And it ties right in with what he said last night. That man's getting ready to put it on you. But it's relating to a project that you've got to have. And it's going to come. Look what it says right here. It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Everybody say, not lie.
Not lie.
And I tell you, the devil is a what?
Liar.
The devil is a what?
Liar.
You remember that in Galatians? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. The devil, he likes to get up here and say, hey, brother, how you doing? And you know, you're on one of your down days, and so you're listening a little bit. Well, I'm not your brother, but go ahead. Talk to me. Have y'all ever had one of those days? I know how you think. Say, you know that thing you wrote down on a piece of paper? That's just you. You don't deserve it. It's not going to work out. You're crazy. He'll come over to him, put his arm around and say, in fact, you're ugly. He's a liar. Everybody say he's a liar.
He's a liar.
Everybody say he's a liar.
He's a liar.
He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to do it for you. You know what I'm talking about. He's going to do it. You don't give up, my brother. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Is that all right? Did I say that? He's going to do it.
Hallelujah.
And I'll tell you why the devil's been fighting you so much. Now, the devil will sit there and say it's because you don't know the material, and it's not. You want me to tell you why the devil's been fighting you so much? It's because you're going to be used so mightily in the medical field for the glory of God. The devil doesn't want you out there. That's why. Thank you, Father. I want everybody to say this. Zia is going to be used mightily for the kingdom of God in medicine. It will come to pass. The devil is a liar. It will come to pass for God. For God. Give him a hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I want to tell you, the missions that's about to take place in our lifetime to harvest the nations is going to be intricately linked up to medicine. There's no confusion as to why Oral Roberts built the City of Faith and has been pumping it out there on medicine and missions. And he's going to use you in that realm, my brother.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I haven't said that to embarrass anybody, but I said that to encourage you. Amen. Well, let's get back here. Verse 3 says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it." If you get tired, then sit down and rest. I said that. Now, I'm not like a lot of Bible teachers. They give you the impression they never have a down day. You're going to have some discouragement. You're going to have some tough times. Sit down and catch a breather. Go out and get you a good meal. Go take a 2 or 3 day vacation if possible. If not, take a long weekend. Because one of the things the devil uses. Have I ever told you my hell story? I'll tell you my little hell story. 3:30 in the morning is when they get up in hell. They get up early down there. They got to get up early and get their assignments so they can go out, you see, and buffet and harass people. So the demons get up at 3:30 and they get in, you know, and they have breakfast and so forth. And then Satan walks in about 4 o'clock. They snap to attention. At ease, demons. They sit down. And he begins to give the demons assignments. He says, "Demon number 101, yes, sir." He says, "I want you to take John Smith. I want you to, any way possible, wipe him out today." His wife's been trying to get him down to that crazy faith Christian fellowship of West Atlanta with Pastor Bill Dennington. Stop him at all costs. Oh, yeah, man. John Smith, he's a pushover. I raked him over the coals last week. I can't wait to do it again today. The demon number 105. Yes, sir. "I want you to take Betty Sue." "Oh, no, not, please, not Betty Sue. She knows the Word. She quotes the Word. Do I have to have Betty Sue?" "We've got to stop her. You already messed up last week. She got saved. Make her miserable. Keep her from her mission in life. Do something. Can we gang up on her?" "Yeah, you can gang up on her. Do whatever you want to do. We've got to stop her." Demon number 506. "Yes, sir." He says, "I want you to take Fred Jones." "Oh, no. Not Fred Jones. He knows the Word just like Betty Sue. Please, please, not Fred Jones. We've got to stop him. He's already got saved. He speaks in tongues now. He's discovered his mission. He's on the way. Make him miserable. Stop him." "We need some ideas on this. Man, this guy, Fred Jones, he's a tough one. We have some ideas." Demons start raising their hands with ideas. "Yes, sir." One demon stands up and says, "Put him in a wreck, man. Break his back. They always blame God. Break his back. They always blame God. That's a good one. We always use that one." "No, no, he knows Psalm 91. He's been quoting protection and Amen. He knows about that. We need something real subtle." "Yeah?" Another demon stands up and he says, "Man, transfer a new woman into his office. I mean a real nice looking woman. That always works. I mean, mess his family up. That'll destroy him. Oh, I've used that one a million times. That'll work." "No, Fred Jones, he was happily married before he was saved. I mean, he's a committed man. We got something real subtle, guys." Finally, one demon raises a little old bony hand and pulls his, you know, they carry black bags. They put his little black bag up there with all the tricks in it. He pulled it out and put it on the table, a little trick. And Satan said, "That's it. That's it." And all the demons went, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." You know what that was they put on the table? Discouragement. One of the most subtle tools of the devil is just simply discouragement. Discouragement. Discouragement has stopped more people than some of the more obvious ones. They just get discouraged. Look what it says here. "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry," what? "Wait for it." Everybody say, "Wait for it."
"Wait for it."
"Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." So number 5, you must write out a clear, concise statement of your desire, including the target date, what you intend to give, and your plan of action. Now, number 6. This will be our last one. And this is really the icing on the cake. Number 6. Twice a day, read and confess your statement. Now, you can do it more than that, but at least twice a day. Twice a day, read and confess your statement and visualize it. When you're doing this, and visualize it as already done. Twice a day, read and confess your statement and visualize it as already done. See it and feel it. I mean, go Hollywood with the thing. See it and feel it. See yourself in that home. Smell the new carpet in the home. Smell the cedar wood on the ceiling. That's what we've got. Hell yeah, I smell the cedar wood.
See yourself in that airplane. Feel the wind whipping by you at 200 knots. Glory to God. See it and feel it. You know, they train pilots these days in what are known as what? Simulators. They'll get in an airplane and man all the instruments and everything. They're indicated they're at 20,000 feet. They're cruising at 254 knots. They're right on course, and all of a sudden they get thirsty. And he drops it and walks out the door and goes to the Coke machine and gets himself a Coke, and the thing crashes. It didn't crash. It was a simulator. But it was showing him as though he were there. So when he finally gets to the real thing, it's coming. He's there. We need to have some faith simulation going on. Amen? We need to have some faith simulation taking place in our minds and our spirits. Faith simulation. Turn with me to Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, and let's look at verse 23. It says, keep thy heart. Now that's where the desire realm is. It's not on the conscious level. The way you program it is what we went through last night. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But how are you going to make it come out of it? How are you going to get that desire to come into the real world? How are you going to get it to rise up from the heart realm and birth out there? We'll read on. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. In other words, put good things in your mouth. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder. Everybody say ponder.
Ponder.
We read that the other day. Ponder. Everybody say ponder.
Ponder.
That's just another way of saying visualize, see it, picture it, image it. I mean, go Hollywood with it. When I picture myself preaching in other countries, and I'm going through some faith simulation in my bed, I'm just laying there, but yet I'm in Brazil. I see myself up there anointed, but I see the big angels. I'm talking about 10, 14 foot ones. I don't know if they come that big, but that's the way I see them. I see the angels. Man, they're right there with me, and they're just slinging lightning bolts out there to hit into the hearts of the people. I see, have you ever seen those fog machines? I see the Holy Spirit like a fog just creeping among the audience, just going out there to confirm the Word. And somebody's not even wanting to be there, and the Holy Spirit just grabs them by the legs, got them, and begins to draw them up onto the platform. I go Hollywood with it. I see it.
Hallelujah.
Do that. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. You see, if you'll ponder it and meditate on it, it'll happen. That's what verse 26 says. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. In other words, don't get off the path. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Stay on that thing and go get it. Twice a day, read and confess your statement and visualize it as already done. Now, I suggest you use what I call the AM and the PM plan. Put that in your notes. The AM and the PM plan. What's the AM and the PM plan? I train myself most every morning. I can't say 100%, but most every morning when that alarm goes off and we hit the alarm or Ryan screams, that's usually how it happens. If Ryan wakes up, before my feet hit the floor, I'll lay there in bed. And instead of just jumping up, going to the restroom or whatever, I lay there in bed just for a few minutes. And Martha thinks I'm in bed, but I'm in Africa. I see it myself on the platform. And I'm moving in power and authority through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I get up, I go to the restroom and do what I need to do to get ready for the day. Then the PM comes, we talk, we chat a little bit, it's time to go to sleep. I've disciplined myself on the PM plan. This time it's Australia. I'm in Australia with them kangaroos hopping around, praise God. Go Hollywood with it now, you got to see it. I see those things happening. I see people getting saved. I suggest you do the same thing. You write out your plan, leave it right by your bed. As you begin, you just read it out and you're turning it into a prayer. My desire is to go to the nations, to be a part of the end time harvest. And I begin now. You begin to write out your target date, the seed that you're sowing. Before long, that thing's going to be written in your heart. You won't even need that piece of paper, but you need it to begin with. And you are turning that visualization into a prayer. It's a prayer and it's radiating from you. It's like rivers of living water going out there. It's magnetic. It's pulling the people. It's pulling the situations, the circumstances unto you to create the very thing you've been desiring. That's what it'll do. So twice a day, at least, read and confess your statement and visualize it as already done. See it and feel it. Now,
That finishes really the material for tonight. Those are the six steps to turn a desire into a reality. If you'll use those six steps, you'll create it into the real world. Now, the way that I would like to conclude tonight is to just take about 3 minutes. That's all it's going to take. If you have to leave for some reason, I do understand. But I want you to take a piece of paper. Now, don't just start writing. Listen to me. I want you to put on that piece of paper three things that you desire within the next 6 months. One of which must be a spiritual desire. Either your quiet time, your prayer life, a loved one being saved. Two of them can be anything. A thing, a place, whatever. But write three things down that you feel within your proportion of faith you desire to see accomplished in the next 6 months. Now, I'm just going to give you a few moments of quiet and just write those things down. I don't want to just teach on this. We're going to actually do it, all right? We're going to do it. Now, you may not be finished, but I'm going to say something else. Once you write your three things down, out to the side, I want you to just jot a few very practical steps that you can do right now to get that project and desire going. Be creative. You don't need money. A brochure, a photograph, something, a phone call, something. Write out a couple or several practical steps, a little plan beside each one of those desires. Okay, we're just going to give you about, 30 more seconds on that. Get your three things written down, then several little practical starters, steps, measurable things that you can do, and then we're going to have a faith simulation session. You're going to sit there and faith imaginize. All right, now, whether you're finished or not, here's what I want us to do. I want you to put everything out of your lap except your little list there. Maybe sit up in your chair, get yourself rearranged, move around, get your back straight. Now, I want you, in a moment, we're going to close our eyes, and I want you to begin to picture. Now, this takes discipline. If you don't watch it, your mind's going to be over there in Six Flags somewhere at home or at Kentucky Fried Chicken or wherever you intend to stop off on your way home. I don't know what you'll do, 7-Eleven. Discipline your mind and work through 1, 2, and 3. Begin to visualize and see it. Put yourself in the picture. See yourself doing it. See yourself in that new car, that new home, or see yourself sitting down talking to that relative that's never accepted Jesus. They're up in age, about to die. You've been afraid. See yourself sitting down and doing it. Go Hollywood, see the angels, paint a picture. See yourself going through those steps that you listed. Then go to number 2, then to number 3. And turn it into a prayer. As you're doing this, be saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, oh yeah, Jesus. Mm-hmm, I see that. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen just like that." Turn it into a prayer as you're doing this. So every eye closed, concentrate and begin to see it with the eye of your faith right now. Now I want you to begin to pray softly. Just begin to narrate it. Begin to thank the Lord for it. Turn it into a prayer with your mouth. Move your mouth. I want to hear some movement. I want to hear some words. Turn your faith imagery into a prayer. Bring those thoughts captive. Now to wind it up, I want you to begin to thank the Lord. Say, "Thank you, Lord, for..." whatever number 1 is. "Thank you, Lord, for..." whatever number 2 is. Out loud, begin to thank Him for it. As though you already had it. Just thank Him for it. I mean, get excited about it. You get excited if you had it right now. Get excited about it. That's right. Do it out loud. Get excited about it. Just like you had it.
Lord, I thank you for that.
Amen. That guy's getting excited right there. What about y'all?
Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for
that. You better get as excited now as you will be, because that's faith. Get excited about it. Thank Him for it. Well, you can stand to your feet. I want to encourage you to practice this all the time. This is really powerful prayer. That's what I've taught you. I'm not teaching you some strange thing. I'm teaching you to bring your mind, your spirit captive to the obedience of Christ and to see those things that will give God glory. Amen? And I want to tell you, after this seminar, the secret of desire is no longer a secret to you.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
You know how it works. You can begin to use it for your advantage instead of letting the devil twist it and walk you in the way he wants you to walk. You can begin to produce the desires that you want. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this teaching message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word literally around the world. I believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times of history, and it's friends just like you that make it possible for us to impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Now, here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're continuing to do it now through daily radio, conferences, crusades, cassette tapes, and literature. Now, the second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries in about 40 different nations. Now, these are full-time families that work underneath our umbrella organization. Most of these people have been to Bible school, and many have completed language school. Now, they're serving on the foreign mission field through our office, and our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize there are still millions of people around the world who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. Do you have a desire to be a part of something eternal in your generation and during your lifetime? Do you want to be able to look back and say, I was a part of making an eternal difference in reaching my generation? Well, if this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a few moments and contact our office and let us know. The easiest way that you can do this is simply to call our toll-free number and tell one of our receptionists that you desire to become one of our monthly supporters. What we'll do is simply record your commitment and then contact you by mail. It's that simple. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month. We ask people to pray for $20 a month. Or you may give more or give less. Whatever you can do will certainly be appreciated and it will help. So please, prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between the hours of 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Now, let me give you that toll-free number so that you can write it down and follow through with this and become a part of our team. Here's that number, the toll-free number, 1-800-832-WORD. That number again, 1-800-832-WORD. Or if you prefer to write and send your check, write to World Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box B, Marietta, Georgia, and our zip is 30061. Now, as I said, tell them that you want to become one of our new monthly supporters. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today. God bless you.